we have continued to engage with the leaders, both the opposition and the government, in encouraging them to promote a ceasefire. And we see that as a necessary condition for the country to move forward. So since then, we've been working, of course, not on the merely on the leaders of both sides, but also on the region, and because we see the region as an indispensable part of the formula for a successful peace initiative.
There seems to be five different internal and regional initiatives to address that nearly 4-year-old crisis in South Sudan. But so far it seems like none has presented a definitive answer to the political impasses.
Really, the issue arises when you have several initiatives, how you manage the relationship between those initiatives. As it happens in this case, there is only one initiative per se which seeks to bring the combatants, the enemies, to the table. And we've been making the point, the initiatives which bring friends together can be important and they can give coherence, but they aren't the answer to the fundamental problem. So what we have been trying to do is to persuade the parties to look for the ways in which the different initiatives can complement the main initiative and not be used against it.
What are the main challenges facing Sudan and South Sudan, and how can they be resolved both in the short term and the long term?
If I had to sort of more broadly describe what we see as the winning formula, or as our long-term objective, it's to recreate a social contract in both Sudan and in South Sudan, a social contract which implicates those who feel excluded or estranged, and find a way of them reaching agreement on the arrangements by which they can live together. And that formula also applies to North Sudan, where there has been a long history of tension between the center and the periphery. And so we have to find a formula which allows us to construct a social contract, which is a contract between the citizens of that country. It's not a contract which can be struck by the UN and IGAD, or IGAD and one of the ruling parties. It has to be a contract struck between the citizens of that country, by which they can not only live together in peace and harmony, but they can also meet the aspirations of their citizens. I say that in the context of South Sudan, almost 40% of the country has been displaced. And the humanitarian consequences of this man-made disaster are horrible and significant and cover the country. And so there's a degree of urgency in finding a formula which brings the conflict to the end. And the conflict is what's been driving the humanitarian crisis and is what has been driving people from their homes.
Mr. Hissam, are you optimistic that soon enough we'll see an end to the conflict, that we'll reach a sustainable peace in South Sudan?
Well, I think when you're in the United Nations, you're required to be optimistic. It's part of our DNA. But apart from that, always encouraged by the belief that human beings will try and find a formula by which they can live together and survive, rather than a formula which assures mutual destruction. And I would want to believe that in South Sudan and in Sudan itself, people are capable of finding the successful formula.
And what's your message for the people of Sudan and South Sudan?
Well, I think in both countries, the citizens of both countries have to embrace a larger understanding of citizenship, of a common citizenship, of a common future. I think it's easier said than done, and in situations of conflict, people tend to retreat into tribe, religion, and other identity-related factors. But this is a country, particularly South Sudan, which is only 6 years old, which has to develop a sense of its own national purpose and national values.